Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
If you're looking for an afternoon as a baseball fan to really just completely ignore work or whatever other earthly responsibilities you have and only pay attention to baseball, today's a good day. 16 games, including a Royals White Sox doubleheader. 12 of those games start before 4:15 Eastern. Lots of getaway day baseball. We'll touch on as much of it as we can in 20 minutes here, plus a quick game of nickel or dime as well. Lightning bets coming up here before we wrap up the show on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL network. You can watch the show as well on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or on YouTube. Just search for the Odyssey Sports Channel. Basketball, though, we had the Western Conference play-ins last night. Lakers get past the Pelicans. Warriors fall and fall ugly to the Kings tonight. We've got Heat Sixers and then Hawks Bulls here to talk to us about all of it. Maybe a little baseball if we've got time as well. From Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast, as well as the Shoulda Bet More podcast, it's Will Hill. Find him on X, not the Will Hill. For all of his plays, leans, and thoughts as well. I noticed last night, Will, on Klay Thompson, he of the 0-for-10. So what do we make of the end of the Warriors dynasty? Is that the last time we saw the big three on the floor together for the Warriors?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's sad. It's just you watch sports long enough, you know that it never ends well. If it ended well, it wouldn't be ending. It's just that's how it goes. They had a great run. It's really been a strange. I mean, you look at the last 5 years. There's a mix of they lost the finals, they won a finals, they lost in round two last year, they lost a few playing games. So it's kind of been a mixed bag. They're done probably winning championships. I think that. Won a couple years ago, you look back, and that's more of a fluke than anything. They got a lot out of Wiggins. They really kind of overachieved, and that was the cherry on top, which really cemented, hey, we can win with Durant, we can win without Durant, we won before him, we won after him. But, yeah, I don't know where you go moving forward. I mean, the worst thing to be in sports is old and expensive, and they're both of them. So, you know, Curry's going to be there for life. I don't know what they do with Draymond, but, you know, they really had a chance, too, to reboot. They had all those lottery picks in the 2021 era with, you know, Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, and they tried to thread the needle of, hey, we're going to have this dynasty, we're going to have this run, and then we're going to have these draft picks to kind of thread the needle for the next one, sort of like the Spurs with Duncan with Duncan and Robinson, how they stretch it over two eras. They whiffed on those, and they got nothing out of the second pick of the draft. They ended up trading it for 4 second-rounders. Kuminga's an okay player, Moody's an okay player, but they didn't really get anything out of those. They didn't cash it in for veterans to get another one or two titles, so where they go forward, I have no idea. I mean, it's an old, expensive roster. They're paying luxury tax. So, I mean, it's probably not going to be pretty. But, look, they got plenty of hardware. They won a bunch of championships. They've been really fun to watch. But it's probably over at this point.
And, Will, in the other game, New Orleans is going to get another crack at it. We don't know if Zion is going to be available. Interesting, some of the reporting coming out of there that he was walking without a limp. But, you know, even though they're going to get that extra shot at it to go into another series here, it's wild because there's Zion big picture stuff too. Like that was his first, you know, if you want to call it a playoff game, and look at what he did, and observers around the league, people in the league, like saying this dude's different. We all knew it was there. It was just a matter of health. Look what he does, drops 40, and then he exits in the final few minutes. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, they might have to make that big decision too, the Pelicans. Like, are we going to pay this guy long term? So what was your takeaway from the other game?
Yeah, it's first of all, I mean, they were down four with like 50 seconds left, and these announcers love to tell you, hey, you don't need a three. You kind of do need a three, because you can't just keep trading twos for twos. They never got the chance to tie. They just kept going layup foul, but yeah, that game was a good sort of depiction of Zion, where you see the talent, but then you see the concern of, oh man, we can't keep this guy healthy and in shape. It's always been something. Every time you feel like there's some sort of momentum where, all right, he's turning the corner, he's the next like baby Shaq, he's the next superstar, something happens. And I guess it's a hamstring. I'd be surprised if he played Friday. Hamstrings are tricky. I would look at an under for this game. 217, I think it's already ticked down, which makes sense. Both games last night went under. I just think the playing games, sort of the same reason we like unders in the NCAA tournament, just because there's max intensity on defense. These teams get a little tight on offense. They're a little more methodical on offense, longer possessions. I think the refs kind of swallow the whistle a little bit. So under would be the play for me. I would guess New Orleans would bounce back and win this game, even if they have to play without Zion. Winning two games in 3 days, especially on the road here for the Kings, I don't know this. Going on the road in New Orleans where they're sort of beat up too, the Kings. I still lean towards the Pelicans. I feel like this is being over-adjusted a little bit here with no Zion. But I like the under, and I would lean towards the Pelicans here.
Love it. We were talking about our favorite futures bets in the NBA. We were looking at finals MVP series bets. Is there anything that you like? Are you expecting it to be a bit chalky, like with the Celtics and Nuggets? What are you thinking big picture?
Yeah, kind of. I thought Denver, the way they blew the one seed on that Friday night to the Spurs was shocking. I still can't believe that. But they got a little bit of a break with Minnesota losing. Now they're the two where, okay, they still have home court for the first round. They're going to have home court for the second round. And if you have to play Oklahoma City in the third round with home court disadvantage, you know what? Oklahoma City's young. Denver's bigger than them. Maybe Oklahoma City doesn't even get there. So Denver kind of got a little bit of a reprieve getting the two. I do think we're looking at a Denver-Boston series. That would be a good series, a long series. I mean, that could be like a seven-gamer. It's been a little bit since we've got a seven-game NBA final. I'm trying to think top of my head when the last one was. It might have been the 2016, that classic Warriors-Cavs. I can't think top of my head if we've gotten one since. I don't think we have, unless I'm missing one. But, yeah, I have a hard time seeing past Boston and Denver. West is really good, so maybe somebody knocks up Denver. I mean, Denver's got their hands full right away with the Lakers, and there's no easy outs. But with home court pretty much throughout, I would expect Denver to get there. And unless you believe in Philly, unless you believe Embiid can, get back to the form he was in midseason, his team's 30-8 with him, unless you believe that, and that to me is a stretch, I don't see who beats Boston. I can't remember a softer path. And, okay, they might have the Heat right away, which – not an easy first rounder, but after that, you're getting the winner of the Cavs and the Magic, and then, the Knicks are the two seed. The Bucks don't have Giannis. The Pacers, these teams aren't that good. If Boston doesn't get to the finals this year, at least get to the finals, you got to ask some serious questions about the makeup of that team. I do think there's some interesting numbers. If you want to get involved in, the correct series score, some of these road teams, these lower seeds, I think, the Suns, the Magic, the Pacers, you can bet correct series score, they're going to win in six. You get 5-1 on some of these. You think about it, the Suns, if they beat the T-Wolves, they're probably not going to sweep. They're probably not going to win in five. And if game seven would be on the road, that would be tough. So if they do win, you're probably going to win in six. So I do think you get some good value on the correct series score in terms of that, where, all right, if the Suns are going to beat Minnesota, plus 500 to win in six, and then just chop around, you get some variety in these numbers, make sure you get the best number. Suns and six, plus 500 to me is a good bet. Just in terms of, and I do like the Suns in that series. I'm going to take the team with Kevin Durant. I think they spaced Minnesota out. I think they've got a lot of shooting. I don't know that Minnesota is as good a playoff team as they are a regular season team. And I like Dallas to win the series too. Minus 125, I'm looking at here. What are you getting at Kawhi? They could say all the right things. Hey, he's fine. We have nothing to worry about. He's going to be okay. Who knows? We've heard this with Kawhi before. They're not always forthcoming when it comes to Kawhi's injuries. They can be vague. They can be, misleading. And maybe he plays a game and maybe he gets hurt again. Anything with a knee with Kawhi, you have to be concerned. And plus, Dallas is playing really well to begin with. Dallas might just be better than them straight up. Dallas, with these trades, they played better defense. Kyrie's kept his head on straight. So Dallas to win that series, I think, is a good bet. And again, some of these correct series score prices, I think, are interesting.
Will Hill of Fox Sports and the Bear Bets podcast with us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. Let's talk about, since you brought up Joel Embiid and the Sixers, let's talk about tonight's play-in games. Miami getting 5.5 at Philly. We all agree that I think we all think, okay, this is a game Philly should win, but 5.5 seems a little much for a Heat team that's shown they do have the capability of doing this, even if they don't look quite like the team that did it a year ago. And then Atlanta, Chicago, admittedly, not a lot of people lining up to stay up late to watch that one on the East Coast. But perhaps DeMar DeRozan gets a chance to make some more fireworks go off. He's made the most out of those opportunities this year. Just where do you go on each of those two Eastern Conference play-in games tonight, Will?
Yeah, I think a lot of pressure on Philly here. I mean, you got a lot in front of you right here. If you can win this game, they'll probably be favored against the Knicks, even if it's the 7-2, and then you get the winner of the Bucks-Pacers, where, hey, Giannis might not be healthy, and you might get the Pacers around too. So it's really set up to at least get to a conference final, something they haven't done in a very long time, something they haven't done with Embiid. It's hard to lay 5.5. I know they have a home court advantage, but they've lost a lot of games with that home court. I mean, they got eliminated by the Heat 2 years ago in Philly. They had a chance to close out Boston last year, and Philly couldn't do it. They lost that infamous game 7 to Atlanta four years ago now, when Ben Simmons passed on the dunk. I just think Philly's got the more talented team. I think Miami's the tougher team. Miami's got some matchup issues here where they're going to probably have to play zone, where you look at Duncan Robinson and Hero and Love. I don't know if they have the athleticism, the foot speed to stay in front of Philly. So they'll probably have to go zone. I'd be interested in like a player prop. I think Batum, he's an obscure guy, but he's a guy off the bench with his shooting, his passing. He's got the size of our Butler. I think Batum could play a little more than people might think. So I'm looking at some three props from him. I'm trying to find him again. With these guys off the bench, it's not as easy to find, but I think this could be an interesting Batum game where he hits two or three threes and you're probably getting plus money on him to hit one three. So that's a player I think is interesting. I have a hard time laying the points with Philly. I think it's a close game. I just think Miami is a grimy team. Now, they haven't looked as good this year. Butler hasn't looked as good, but they always have that switch coming to the playoffs where they just take it up, not just a notch, but two or three notches. So hard for me to lay the points. I think Philly wins, but I would lean towards the 5.5. As far as Chicago, Atlanta, boy, it feels like this has been the play-in game for the last 7 years. It just feels, I think of Eastern Conference play-in. I think of Eastern Conference mediocrity, and I just think of the Bulls off. It's such a depressing game. I don't know that the Bulls have enough shooting here. I mean, it's basically going to be a bunch of DeMar DeRozan mid-rangers. Other than that, I mean, you do have, for Atlanta side, I know both teams are banged up, but at least for Atlanta, you do have Trae Young, you have Murray, you have Bogdanović. That's at least something. That's at least, I think, more than Chicago has. I mean, Chicago just does not have a lot of punch, a lot of offense. Again, I don't think you can go wrong playing unders in these games. There's just max intensity on defense, longer possessions, teams get a little tighter. So I think under is probably a decent way to go on both of these, but I would lean towards the Dogs in both of them. I just think the Hawks have more shooting, more offense than Chicago does.
Well, it's an extensive baseball card today. I know there's doubleheader in there that nobody wants to watch between the White Sox and the Royals. Anything that you have circled that you've already bet or will be betting?
I like the Yankees here. We're starting to see some of the other side with the Yankees, some of the flip side is going. They were 12-3 on Sunday, about to go 13-3. They blew a couple of leads, and they haven't won a game six now. Game since they've lost a few games in a row, three in a row. They get Gausman here, who has been awful. He's been a good pitcher the last few years, but he's been awful the first month or so, or the first few starts. His velocity is way, way down, and he's throwing the ball upper 80s, lower 90s. So I would look for the Yankees here, either money line, team total over, maybe just the game over. I see it's ticked up to 8.5. I did miss the 8, which frustrates me. So I circled that one last night, but I would look at the Yankees. I do think they bounce back. And that should be a good race between the Yankees and the Orioles all summer. I really think that both teams will probably get in the mid to upper 90s. We're looking at a good race there. And I like Atlanta, minus 140 or so against the Astros. The Astros, you got to be concerned a little bit. I mean, we're past the point where, hey, it's the first weekend, no worries. I mean, the Astros might have some serious issues. All their pitchers are hurt. Maybe they're just due for a year where, hey, you can't play in the World Series, the ALCS every year. They've basically been in the final four, the last 7 years, basically since 2017. They're either in the World Series, winning the World Series, ALCS. Maybe this is just a year they don't fire, because every time you look up and you expect them to bounce back, they just throw a pitcher out there that you've never heard of or isn't any good. On Freed going today against JP France. I like the Braves here. The Braves are still really good on offense. They've got some issues, obviously, of their pitching, with no Strider and Sale and Morton are a little older, a little injury prone, but the Braves are one I like. And I like Skubal going for the Tigers in the first five. And I like playing these really good pitchers on these mediocre teams in the first five, just because I feel like the line doesn't account for it. It's just when you bet the first five, it's not completely accounted for that, hey, this pitcher's really good. I think that, you do get a little bit of an advantage in the number where you can just bet the first five. And I like the fact that, hey, if it's 2-2 after five, I don't have to sweat the bullpens. I don't have to sweat the extra inning with the ghost runners. At 2-2 after five, you know what? I'll happily take my money back. I like that aspect of it. We're not going to sweat this game for 3.5 hours and the randomness of extra innings. So Tigers first five, Braves for the full game, and then Yankees are the ones I'm looking at so far.
Great stuff, Will. We appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the play-in games and an afternoon full of baseball as well. We'll catch up with you again soon.
All right. Huge fan of the show. Appreciate you having me. Happy to come on again.
Oh, thanks again. Will Hill at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Follow him there. Also, the Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast. Good to have him giving some insight on where he's going for the Eastern Conference play-in games tonight and the rest of the NBA playoff field, as well as all that afternoon baseball that I mentioned. We go a couple different directions with that afternoon baseball. Lightning bets before we wrap up as well, alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. You're locked into BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Diamondbacks extra inning winners last night. Or excuse me, extra inning losers. You knew what I meant. Went extras. And an interesting series with the Cubs. No, they won last night. It was a loss in extras the night before. Let me get everything straight here. It's BetQL Daily. Hi, welcome in. I'm Chris Mack, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. Plenty of baseball today. That I'm not confused about. 16 games, including a doubleheader on the south side of Chicago. A dozen of these games start before 4:15 Eastern, 1:15 Pacific. So again, if you want to sit around and watch afternoon baseball, you've got plenty of options. And with that being said, you said nobody's going to watch it, Joe. There's a doubleheader between the Royals and the White Sox that, as long as the Royals are rolling, I don't know. You could go money line Royals to sweep the doubleheader at like plus 143. I've already got an eye on that one. Thank you very much.
Ah, that's an interesting angle. See, because I was thinking, okay, you just have to run it back with the earlier game because the same pitching matchup that was planned last night for the game that got canceled.
Right.
We were willing to bet that Casey on the run line with Singer and his awesome start against Nick Cannon's brother. Like, that makes perfect sense. A second matchup, do we even know? When I was looking earlier, I didn't see an announcement on the starters. Do you care about who the starters are for Casey White Sox?
I think it's Fetty for the White Sox and Waka for the Royals. So, Fetty Waka.
Yeah.
I know how you feel about Eric Fetty. And now she's muted. She had a red-hot Eric Fetty WAP take, and
fire.
She was muted for it.
It was fire.
Dang. Well played. Anytime we can, intertwine hip-hop into the MLB bet segment, I am all for it. Walk a flock
baseball
of flame
hawk
on the mound.
All about it. There are a couple spots I had circled, guys. I don't know about you. Will Hill had mentioned the Yankees sort of hitting a little bit of a skid here in the last couple days, but getting Kevin Gausman today in Toronto. It's Stroman for the Yanks, and Gausman's been awful, as Will mentioned. The velocity not there, ERA close to 12, and Judge and Stanton both have great numbers against Gausman in their career. Judge 10 of 32 in his career with a pair of doubles and four home runs off Gausman. Stanton 7 of 18 with three extra base hits, including two long balls. So I wouldn't mind going after their home run props. That's a look that I definitely had in mind. And then the Padres have been playing well as of late, coming off the series win in LA against the Dodgers. Michael King has pitched well early in this season. No listed starter for the Brewers. He had a 110 first pitch in Milwaukee.
I was looking at your team, man. As a dog, at the Mets, yes, Faulkner.
Let's see if they let the starter go more than five innings. I understand.
So you'd bet first five if you're going to bet it, is what you're saying, right?
If you're going to bet anything, yeah. But just it's Bailey Falter. I don't know. Severino's pitched fairly well to start the season. Falter's been, he's been Bailey Falter. So I don't know if I jump. It's been a very sloppy series on both sides, both teams. The thing that was frustrating, and even though we cleared the Jared Jones K-prop yesterday, they lifted him. I don't know if you guys saw this. After 59 pitches, 50 of them were strikes. That's the first time that's happened in the 23 years of pitch counts being tracked. And the argument post-game was, well, you know, he's never thrown a big number of innings before. We want to save him for August and September. I get that. I also understand that you can have some nuance in how you handle things like that. You told the guy pregame he was only going to go five ups. I get it. He had thrown just 59 pitches. Maybe you walk up to him in the dugout and say, hey, listen here, Taco Meat. We think we can get another inning out of you because it's a 1-0 game and you're absolutely dealing, and we don't trust Luis Ortiz to not come in here and blow the game. That might have been a thought if you're Derek Shelton and not necessarily letting Ben Cherington manage the game from the GM suite. I don't know. It's just frustrating. I understand you want to protect young arms, especially in a year where we've already seen so many young arms go down. But, bro, let him go out for one more inning. And if he gets up over, say, 15 pitches in that inning, fine. Run out to the mound, grab him by the back of his shirt, and drag him off the field. But it drives me nuts, Joe, when we see young pitchers protected when they're pitching really well in a given game. One hit over five innings and seven strikeouts, 59 pitches, and they pull.
I'd say it's right, but I see 11-year-olds that get a longer leash than 59 pitches all the time. It's kind of crazy. Look, it is April, though. If what they're saying is not BS, that it is about getting a full season out of him instead of letting him go like normal and then we're forced to shut him down at some point. If they're going to back up their words with that action and make sure he's there for the entire season, I'm okay with doing that in April. I'm fine with it. But I certainly understand your frustration. But there is a bit of a ramp-up period. My God, that's an 85% strike rate. 85%. Yes. Not playing. My goodness. That is super, super impressive, especially the way, you know, with in the majors, how you do have to waste pitches from time to time, and you're setting things up during an at-bat. Awesome start. You would have been really mad if you would have missed the K-prop because of the 59.
Yeah, this isn't even like an angry gambler going off about missing a bet. Like, we hit the prop, and it was just frustrating to watch as a fan of the Pirates, watch them blow that game because their bullpen blew it a second night in a row against the Mets. I understand what you're saying, but the games in August and September might not mean anything if you don't let the guy go out and get an extra inning of work when he's only thrown 59 pitches. Aaron, what's this story about Glasnow knowing or having a feeling that some people in the Dodgers clubhouse thought Ipe Mizuhara might have been up to some shady stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit surprising that he would come out and say this, but he made some accusations through the baseball community that kind of caught everyone's attention, that he's accusing the Dodgers of being aware of Mizuhara's questionable actions around Ohtani and kind of suggests that the Dodgers had prior knowledge of some potentially unethical behavior. So rather jaw-dropping to have him come out and say that. It's kind of one of those things that maybe you should just keep your mouth shut, but wow. Where there's smoke, well, there's fire.
He's a dude that he's one of their main dudes too. Like, this is not somebody keep your mouth shut, you're at the end of the roster, you're lucky to be in the majors. This is a guy that they need to stay healthy all season for them to win. Just my guess, based on some of the reporting that's gone on with this entire Ohtani thing, just a guess is maybe Glasnow's one of the guys that's sick and tired of the whole Ohtani everything. Guy can do whatever he wants. He doesn't want to speak to the media, doesn't have to speak to the media. So guess what? Guys like Tyler Glasnow have to speak to the media on his behalf and answer questions that would be for Ohtani. And the people that cover this team every day are saying, like, there are some players on the team that are sick of it.
It
just doesn't seem like that's the case based on these quotes from Glasnow with Chris Rose. It doesn't seem like an anti-Ohtani thing. It seems he's like saying, you know, we've got his back. Like, he's coming to his defense.
That's what I was going to mention, Paul, is actually it's interesting because it unfolds a little bit more of the story as it sounds like it went down when they were still over in Korea. Glasnow saying, I just think being in the clubhouse, everyone knew right away he, meaning Ohtani, had nothing to do with it. The first thing he did was like, take my phone. We all knew early on that Ipe was doing some shady stuff. And by early on, it sounds to me like he means as soon as the scandal kind of broke. And Glasnow said that Ohtani seemed kind of like eerily unfazed by it and was very unstressed. And that's how he kind of was able to tell, at least according to what he's saying to Chris Rose, that they didn't think Ohtani really had anything to worry about or had anything to do with it.
But you're not going to go against Ohtani. Like, you can't. In that locker room, in this sport, like, you can't tear down Ohtani. Baseball is going to do everything they can to protect him. I think he's more mad at the organization, which is what he's voicing here.
For trying to cover this up a little bit or whatever.
Probably everything.
Knowledge. Yeah.
Or maybe just, I don't know if it's a cover as much as it's not having a good handle on things, right? Like, that's what it sounds to me like Glasnow saying is, you know, we knew there was something weird going on, some shady stuff, as soon as it came out, as soon as the story broke, and then it went sideways real quick. And he's not directly saying it, but he's kind of indirectly saying, Aaron, if I'm reading between the lines correctly here, hey, they probably could have done more to help him clean. He handled it well, but they could have done more to help him out on this end.
Agreed, but it's also a bit unprecedented, like, to have an interpreter, first of all, not super common, and then, like, allegedly this interpreter stealing $40 million from the player, like, that's not a common thing. Like, they're probably surprised and not really sure what to do about it either. And it sounds like it happened so fast. Like, but maybe what Glasnow saying it wasn't. Maybe this is going on. You know, when someone has bad energy, like, maybe this interpreter was just rubbing people the wrong way, like Glasnow. They're like, get this guy out, man. We know he's into something. Like, why is he hanging around all the time? And perhaps they had talked to, like, front office or someone about it, and no one was getting rid of him because that was Ohtani's guy.
All this happened this month. You know what I mean? I guess he was hanging out in camp too, but it felt, if they knew right away, like, how long ago, like, maybe a few weeks ago, and look how quickly all of this happened.
I think the takeaway here is how quickly, like, I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that stories, that people are aware of the stories that are going on behind the scenes a lot earlier. And in some cases they are, but a lot earlier than we are. Like, it's an interest. It's a funny story that actually relates to Glasnow. I remember being in the clubhouse when the trade went down of Glasnow and, Austin Meadows and Shane Boz to the Tampa Bay Rays for Chris Archer. Mm-hmm. And watching him get the news on his phone while he was sitting in the clubhouse in front of us. And one of his teammates kind of nudging him on the elbow and being like, dude, is this, and they pointed up to the screen and there's TVs on the wall in the clubhouse and MLB Network is talking about Tyler Glasnow being traded. And we're all standing there looking at Tyler Glasnow, like, what are you going to do now, bro? Uh-huh. And he got up and walked out and, went and packed his things and everything. So he wouldn't have to talk to anybody about it. But that's how quickly it sounds like this all went down when they were over in Korea, is the Dodgers are sitting in the clubhouse 1 minute after a game. The next minute, as they think there's something maybe weird going on with Otani's interpreter, the news breaks. The interpreter's standing there telling them in the clubhouse, hey, I did this. Otani's not totally understanding it because he still doesn't have a 110% grasp of the English language. It's wild how quickly this thing came together, broke, fell apart, and then was pieced back together. And I think the more we talk about it, Joe, the more I come back around to granting Otani the grace that I probably should have granted him in the first place. Like, I had really serious questions about this, and now I come back around to it. Sounds like he handled it as well as he could have.
I guess. I don't know. I still think he knew more than everybody wants to believe. Like, just because they're not texting about it does not mean that he doesn't know. He's not a dummy. He's not going to put it in text form and look how quickly the feds came in and got all this too. Like, it all was like really fast, but I guess it was over years.
Yeah.
He didn't do his due diligence on the interpreter either with all this going on for years and years. It is wild though. You're right.
Fascinating story.
And he continues to hit the cover off the baseball too, which is the other thing. Somehow he's kept it together during all of this. Speaking of which, who do we expect to do the same today? Do we have some player props for all these baseball games? What about the Eastern Conference play-in games tonight? Player props there, sides, totals, lightning bets next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Didn't really get to talk about it during the show this morning, but we're all real excited I'm not sure if you heard or not about the story ESPN released this morning on Bill Belichick's offseason job search. Maybe that's something for off the board tomorrow. But does not sound like things ended well between Bill and Bob Kraft. And when he went searching for a job, the only place where he got an interview this offseason in Atlanta, wasn't exactly a vote of confidence he got from his former boss. Lightning bets in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Don't forget, you can take us with you wherever you go inside your Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today. You can rewind anything you may have missed in the last 72 hours on the BetQL network. You can also download everything for your on-demand listening pleasure as a podcast. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you get your podcasts, including inside that Odyssey app. We appreciate you joining us live every single morning as well from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, and on YouTube on the Odyssey Sports Channel as well. So, lightning bets with Eastern Conference play-in games, with baseball, maybe some series bets we want to get in early before those get started this weekend in the NBA. Where do we want to go first, Joe?
We're going to go with some props in the NBA. Maxi over points, rebounds, assists. I'm going over 34 and the hook. And I'm making sure that I don't overreact to what he did in the regular season, because those were games without Embiid, without Butler. So you don't want to take away too much from those. But just the number, I thought it was going to end up being a lot higher. But with everything involved here, you know that there's that baseline with his rebounds and assists. That's going to help here as well. The points alone is at 24.5. So I think Maxey's the guy in the Sixers that ends up having the big game here. Over 34.5. And yes, Bam has done very well against Embiid. However, it's not about the offense. It's about his defense. And his points and rebounds is really juiced up. And I think part of the reason is because of the success he had in the regular season when Embiid wasn't on the court. I'm going under 28.5 points and rebounds for Bam over Maxey on the PRA. And then Hawks Bulls, who made it tough on me. I wanted to pick some Hawks players for made threes props, but they're juice to a crazy number. So I'm going to go most threes in the game, Bogdanović at plus 360. I think that's a pretty good number. And, you know, game one for White Sox Royals. Gave it out yesterday. It was washed out, but I'll take KC in the Singer game on the run line.
In the NBA, I hope you were listening to our segment earlier, because Joel Embiid's PRA prop of 47.5 is now juiced to minus 125. Maybe people were listening and tailed. I don't know what happened with that.
At under?
That escalated quickly. Yeah, under. Under. Okay, so I'll be on that. And then in Major League Baseball, was looking for a prop. Detmers is off to a nice start to the season. He's had 7 Ks in 2 outings and 12 in 1 outing against the Red Sox. So I'm going to bet alt strikeout 7 plus at plus 132. They're playing the Rays.
All right.
That's it.
I like that. So some baseball plays first. I mentioned Judge and Stanton with really good career numbers against Kevin Gausman, who's been terrible early in the season. The numbers aren't huge. In fact, they're pretty small, but Judge home run, a little better than 2-1. Stanton home run, 340. Sprinkle a little bit on both of those. Might even, just for funsies, parlay them at 12-1, because why not? Also, Mike Trout against Zach Littell is 2-for-2 with a walk. Limited action against him, but just Trout in general has been on fire lately. 725 slugging percentage in his last 10 games, 12-for-40 with 7 extra base hits. So we go over his total base prop at even money for Mike Trout. And Pablo Lopez, 7 strikeouts and 4 innings of work last time out. He's got the O's today. Pablo Lopez over 5.5 strikeouts. It is juicy at minus 155. Maybe look for an alt line if we can find it before that game gets started. And the Royals doubleheader money line parlay is plus 143. They sweep the Sox on the south side today because, well, the White Sox. I don't know what other reason you need for that one. NBA, Hawks Bulls over 225.5. Probably ends up being the only game of the 4 play-in games these first 2 nights that goes over the total. But I think it'll be sloppy defensively on both ends. And a couple of series bets I want to get in now. Bucks Pacers to go 7 games, plus 185. I really like that number. Joe mentioned it earlier. And Orlando over the Cavs, the series number is plus 155. I'll take that now just in case it should move between now and Saturday morning. So there we go. Paul, do you have anything for us on this glorious Wednesday morning?
Oh, maybe I'll do what I did yesterday.
Golf.
And, No.
Come on, give us those RBC bets. We know you got them.
I don't actually, but I was like looking. So I looked at some things and like, there I'll just is. Like, here's some he information, looked. Not necessarily actionable, but like, Ron Kloss puts out a lot of good information every week on like different golf insights and strokes gained, like with their model over at BetSports. But like some guys that are not like after a major, like a little bit of a major letdown, a guy like Homa kind of fit that bill. So if like you want to look at ways to fade him, that could that could definitely be an option. Will I get there in some capacity by the end of the day? Probably.
Yes.
Others to fate.
That Paul Aspen 7 p.m. text tonight that he's in on Thigala is going to hit different.
God, that was such a great call of Morikawa. It was such a great call of Morikawa.
It was. Until Colin Morikawa remembered he was Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. Bill Z is one of those guys that doesn't look great after a major. Wyndham. I was actually thinking, is this a comeback spot for Wyndham Clark? Because he actually, he started off okay.
Yes.
And then
yes.
he.
Well, no, yeah, it, so. it makes perfect sense.
This is their once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's a whirlwind. For I'm talking about the ones that competed, the ones that finished top five, top ten, and decide to play the next week. Automatic fades. They haven't even thought about RBC for the ones that are deciding to show up. So, yeah.
Right. I would fade now, like, also. Clark missed the cut. He had a couple extra days to, like, reset and be like, all right, now let me go out and do some things at the RBC. Mm-hmm. So, look, no official plays or anything. You guys want to do your own research? Go nuts. I am I'm a defeated man right now.
His lightning bets is go do your own research.
Yeah. But, hey, man, it doesn't have to be picks, picks, picks. But, like, here are some names. Look at some different things and decide if you want to do anything. But you know what you shouldn't do? Go out and throw sweeper pitches because you'll destroy your elbow. Oh, so I'll see the rest of my time to Jake Hassan. But I will be – all right. I'll do the Royals thing. I'll do the Royals.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Doubleheader parlay or just one out of two?
So
parlay with me. Come on.
All right, fine. I'll ride with Chris Mack. We'll go some Wednesday afternoon action.
There we go.
Well, he's just saving his bankroll for his golf bets later today.
Right? It's not that I've not been listening to you guys. But Hawks? should the Bulls be laying three to anyone?
That's what I said.
All right. So
I don't want to bet it.
I know.
Do you?
I know.
You really want to bet on the Atlanta Hawks right now?
Yeah.
I don't want to
bet Trae Young alternate threes or something?
I'm sorry we pestered you to give us some sort of bets, Paul. I think it's time to no. Now you're grasping.
Do your own research. He's Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
Too close. Walk it back.
In the clip, he said, "I did my own research." Here it is. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like that I do my own research? She's arguing with him.
Right, but Paul's not saying he did his own research. She's trying to lead you to the water of doing your own.
Some people are saying here's an interesting thing to look at, you know?
Some people.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
To be fair, people should do their own research.
Well, he said he did his. How's that going? I don't think he's going.
Right. Like, I'd rather just be like, hey, here's some information, follow it up with your own research, than being like, this was a hoax created by these people or something like that.
Yeah.
I do like this for a possible promo. BetQL Daily, weekdays 9 to noon. They've got picks. Go do your own research, people.
You know, in a picks heavy world.
Yeah.
He's trying to stand out. He's a peacock. We got to let him fly.
You're saying Saheed Thigala may have been created in a laboratory in the 1980s just to destroy your bankroll?
I was going to say, to break your heart. Yeah, which actually, you know, a lot of some similar threads there. Maybe we should move on.
Persian Kevin Love.
All right. Hello. Wow. For the games starting in like an hour or so, I will be on the Brewers team total over 4.5. They do really well against sinkers and four-seam fastballs, which Michael King throws 50% of the time. And I'm going to go Jonah Heim, 2+ total bases. He has good history against Tarik Skubal. I was going to do the Royals double-double parlay, but now everybody's on it. I'm scared because how could it possibly go wrong
that
we're all on it?
Which one loses? I feel better about the early game.
Yes, feel way better about the early game. I mean, still Michael Wacha versus Eric Fetty, so things can get weird. So in the first game, I will just simply go White Sox team total under 1.5 in the first five because Singer's been awesome and already faced them once, and it's the White Sox on a terrible day in Chicago where it's just raining.
Mm. More baseball bets from Jake Hassan alongside Lucy Burge at 2 Eastern with Bet Slips and Bat Flips. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, breaking down that Eastern Conference play-in action, looking ahead maybe to some of the one seed or to the two seed matchup against the seven who will be set after tonight. More baseball as well, but definitely not as much as today. We're getting you closer to the NFL draft as well tomorrow right here on BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM.